Transportation Committee, again, date, 23rd. Will please come to order. Let the record show that Representative Phillips, Representative Samansky, Representative M.V. Miller, Representative Davis, Representative Herman, Representative Abood, and Representative Cato are present. I understand Representative Samansky has to leave us, so get out of here.
Be right back.
No hurry, no hurry.
I know, you waited with bated breath.
No hurry at all. Take your time.
All right, we have before us HB 70 and HB 228, which are two bills very, very similar. The prime sponsor of HB 228 is here. And Mr. Schultz, would you like to testify? Representative Richard Schultz.
Richard Schultz?
I'd like that, Nick.
Never known him as that.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Dick Schultz, representative from District 17. Anyway, on the bill that you have for you, before you today, and my proposal, what have, basically, has happened here, the bill that Betty has proposed, they are compatible, except that it expands the boundaries of Region 5. And living within that region, I know the problems that have been created by having the turnaround, and there is a map here that will show you what's going on. There are some problems with having the turnarounds and the various jurisdiction under Valdez and out of Fairbanks, and it creates considerable problems within our district, whereas you have Tobe, Glen Allen, and Delta that are very similar communities in respect to the types of roads and the permafrost conditions and the weather conditions. They're very similar. So that's why we have proposed going extending the boundary on up. And I may add, Betty, that we have no problem with the suggestion that you were talking about in bringing that boundary over to include to where it used to be.
The Sutton area.
Yes, into that area. We have no problem with that. At least it's a more compatible district than the way it is presently, because this area through here, through this triangle, there's no reason in dividing that the way it is right now, because we have some real problems there, and it really does create problems. The other thing that in my bill that you can be pointed out, and it's on line, starts on line 16, last sentence. It says, each regional office shall be centrally located within its region. Okay? What I am hoping for, and what I would like this committee to seriously consider.
Which page are you speaking of?
This is on the first page of the of the bill. I'm sorry.
Mine doesn't read that way.
Right.
Mine doesn't either.
I think it's.
Okay, 16.
Yeah. It's the last half of 16.
Right. Last sentence on line 16, and then in page 7, or on line 17, the change of the wording there is centrally located within its region.
You want to change it to that? Is that what you're saying? Or?
Yes. Yes.
Will you make a note of that, Steve? Why?
Can I see the map?
I'm sure.
Yes, Representative Miller.
Could I clarify that? You would like that change to that?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Could I follow?
Yes.
Follow up. If we use that wording, like in the interior region, instead of it being in Fairbanks, the center of the region would fall in Venati.
No.
Yeah, in that.
Wait a second. Here's Region 5. Here is Region 5. And we are talking about centrally locating the department.
Okay,
the regional department.
Let's go to Region 2.
Okay. Okay, well then, maybe it should be, I understand what you say. If we went for all the regions, if we just put a point blank, I see what you mean. What I would like then is, it would say that Region 5 would be centrally located within the region. That's a primary concern. And the concern that's come out, and out of this, with the jurisdiction that we have under Fairbanks and through the Valdez area, when it comes to road planning and road maintenance and setting priorities and everything else, and we had a very classic example happen 2 days ago on the Chistochina River that the state came in and built a dike down one side of the river, and they were told when they did it that if they took the soil from the low side of the river and kept pushing it up and made it lower even yet, but built the dike, it was going to cause severe overflow problems. And the people that in the interior, when you're dealing with overflow, over a period of the winter, you know, that overflow get, you know, 16, 20 foot deep, easy, you know. And the very thing happened. Now it's overflowing, the ice is overflowing, it's coming down. Well, they went up and a guy from Chistochina posted and called and wanted a cat come down there and run a ripper down it and to get that overflow flowing down the channel towards the Chistochina River. And no one could make the decision. So they had to, they called Glenn Allen. Glenn Allen had to call Valdez. Valdez, they didn't know, you know, whether they should or whether they shouldn't. So anyway, we had to get on the phone and they're going up and they're going to run a ripper down it. Now, those people in that region should have the authority and jurisdiction. If it's a state-built dike, they should just run a cat out there and do it. And they shouldn't have to go through this rigmarole of contacting Juneau and Juneau contacting Valdez and Valdez, so on and so forth. That's another thing that I've talked with Casey about this, that I would like to see all these regional maintenance camps, with the maintenance camps within the regions, to have more authority and accountability in making decisions. And I think, and Betty and I have discussed this, this region, and even if you do expound the boundaries beyond here, this region makes a lot more sense. And I'm here primarily discussing Region 5, you know, and I like the concept of going to 5 regions rather than the 2 or 3 that the administration or Dan Casey is proposing. We do have a large highway district in this area. We've got a lot of bad roads. We've got some of the worst roads in the state. And it should be up to this region to set their priorities, work with a budget, and working under the jurisdiction of Valdez, what often happens in the short area that they have there going over the top of Thompson Pass, in dealing in the permafrost areas, where they can go down there and make patchwork very easily, where they can go out and take some hot patch and throw it in the road and go back over and take a shovel and pat it down, and that stuff will stay. You get into the interior of Alaska, or, you know, there's the interior region here, Region 5, and you throw some hot patch down or a cold patch, and if whatever kind of a blob you put out there, it's going to come out in the same chunk when it's about 55, 60 below zero.
Representative Schultz, I can understand exactly what you're saying about expanding the boundaries of the region. I, however, see a fallacy in my own estimation as to why the regional headquarters should be in the center of the district. I don't think that's going to make the engineers any more cognizant of what's going on. I don't think it's going to make I think you could arrive at exactly the same thing with more authority in your maintenance camps.
Well, I believe it should be centrally located. Valdez, first of all, is the terminal point of the road. You know, where we have Toke, and it wouldn't make any difference where it was located, Toke, Delta, or Glen Allen. One of those areas, that's where the headquarters should be for that district. You know, there's just no way that we should have the headquarters for the highway department of Region 5 down in Valdez. The reason, climatically, it is so much different. I mean, I don't know how cold it gets in Valdez, but does it get 10 below, 20, 30?
Oh, yeah, 20
okay.
sometimes.
Oh, 20? You know, and our high in the winter average, our high is 20 below. You know, and that's what we run. We have different. So if you're going to take this region, and if you're going to run Gardner Creek from Valdez, I mean, it's just. There's just absolutely no comparison, which is that northway stretch. You know, it could be running 20 above, and be running 70 below zero in northway. You know, whereas if you had Tok, Glen Allen, or Delta, the temperatures are running the same. You know, these people when they start making decisions because of the temperatures have a tendency and would have a tendency to make more rational and logical decisions about these things. It's pretty hard to sit here, for example, today, and imagine that it's maybe 20 or 30 below zero in the interior, you know, and they've just got to. So if you're sitting here and you're making decisions about someone needs to plow a road at Gardner Creek, well, hell, it isn't snowing here, you know, and there's no problem. So, you know, I don't think you really need to do it. And this happens, Betty. This definitely happens in one of our biggest problems. The closer you get to Fairbanks, the better the roads are maintained. The closer you get to Valdez, the better the roads are maintained. The closer you get to Anchorage, the better the roads are maintained. I have seen 2.5 foot accumulation of snow on the Tok cutoff and no snow plows on it from Friday night until Monday morning. And we have called and requested, and we could not get permission for overtime out of Fairbanks for these roads to be plowed.
I don't think you could out of any regional office. Overtime just is not done.
If it's snowing in snowing over the weekend on Friday, and it starts accumulating snow in Anchorage, I guarantee you they're out there plowing the roads, and they're getting it squared away. Fairbanks, same way. I've driven from Tok all the way into Fairbanks. The snow on the road, snowing, you know, 6-8 inches accumulation on the ground, get into Fairbanks, get out by Eielson Air Force Base or maybe a little bit to this side of it, and you start running into snow plows where they start plowing the road. And these are the things, because we are so far removed from the area of jurisdiction, we have a hard time in establishing our priorities, and that's exactly what we need to do. And I mean, it's just a
I agree with what you're saying up to a point. Your other statement, however, if the maintenance camps such as Trims, the other maintenance camps along the way, the one that's just cheating on through, if they had the authority, their snow plows would be out there. It wouldn't mean moving the whole regional district and all its accrument.
Right.
In other words, what I'm saying is that you can accomplish your purpose with the maintenance camp having authority.
Okay.
To get the snow plows out and
sure.
Do that work.
Let me ask you this. What, as compared to having the district highway camp located in Tok, Glen Allen, or Delta, what is the justification for having it in Valdez?
Well, my main thing is fiscal responsibility. The entire situation is already set up, buildings and everything else. And you would have to build a whole new set of buildings to put the regional office somewhere else, which actually would cost millions of dollars to do. And that's my prime thing, is the fiscal situation on it. Representative Boone, did you?
Yes.
Did you want to respond to that?
I wanted to get an opportunity to say something, but I guess it's pretty tough.
Well, we deal with
the interior. First of all, I think the people in the regional offices will have the expertise in the different areas in the five regions. And I'm sure that because it's if it's snowing up in Big Delta now, I believe that. I really believe that. Even though it's not snowing down here, I think that's a kind of particular excuse for trying to figure out, does anybody know what's going on? Now you're talking about Big Delta, but as far as I can see, the line doesn't go up to Big Delta.
goes beyond Big Delta.
It goes beyond Big Delta.
I've drawn it a little bit incorrect.
Or not to Salcha, but out to...
And then the other thing is...
He has the other map done.
The other thing is, I guess if I were somebody that wanted to go to work for the Division 5, Region 5, and I knew that I could live in Valdez or Big Delta or Polk Junction, I'd probably want to, because of the very reasons you say, would like to keep more operational down there than I keep equipment operational and so on, and decision-making down there.
Down where? In Valdez?
In Valdez.
That's where you would like to have the decision?
I still think I have a floor manager.
Yes.
I'm just asking, is that what you're saying?
Let's go through the chair, shall we?
Relax, Dick.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. Now, does the road go from Eagle to Central?
I drew, that's the Taylor Highway. Okay. Mitch, I could have on your map, and what we should have done was have that map reduced, which we could have done, and on the second part, and we will before we
It seems to me that we've given this up. Oh, I see. There's where it is there.
Yeah.
Up through almost Richardson. Mm-hmm. I understand what Representative Schultz is saying because of the road congestion and your coming together. Yet I have confidence in the people in the regional office would be because, again, the cost matters. It's going to be difficult. It's going to cost us a tremendous amount of money to put facilities in Tolk or wherever, Delta. And you'd have the same problem with it being in Delta as you would. It'd be just reversed to the one that's in down here now. I guess I haven't said much, Madam Chairman.
Yes, go ahead, Representative Schultz.
First of all, we're talking about maintenance and operations. We're not talking about planning and design and planning and things of that nature. That headquarters would still be in Fairbanks. It does make a difference. It absolutely does make a difference. Valdez, having the terminus in Valdez and having the maintenance and operations headquarters in Valdez doesn't make one bit of sense. We are talking about the largest highway district in the state, okay? We have got some of the poorest roads. We would want to centrally locate that maintenance and operations highway camp to where it is accessible to the people that have the worst roads and the largest stretches of them. Tolk, for example, you go out of Tolk, you go to 40 Mile, you got 180 miles of gravel road going up the Taylor Highway, you know, going to Eagle, and then you got another 20-some miles going to Boundary. You've got another 145 miles going towards Delta. You've got the 150-some miles going to Glen Allen. You got the 124 miles on the Tolk cutoff. You've got the road going down to 119 or 109 miles from Glen Allen on down. You've got the Chittenden Road, going down to Chittenden. Centrally locating the maintenance and operations within the area of where you have the most problems is going to make it a better operation. And some of the biggest problems we've had in the interior of Alaska and with the interior highway system from the Alcan border all the way through has been the inability of having a maintenance and operations headquarters where we can contact, that we can get equipment, we can set our priorities, we can have the decision making power and everything else. Where we're working in this whole district, when we're working at a terminus that's way to hell and gone, down at Valdez, my God, I'm in our district. I mean, how many people from the interior of Alaska, from Glen Allen, Tolk, Delta, and whatever, even go to Valdez? You know, I've been there three times in my life. You know,
But what I'm saying is, that it just is good, sound logic to put the maintenance and operations with centrally located in District 5.
Might I interject one thing, Dick, with your good, sound logic? Now, let's say that the maintenance and operation is in Glen Elm.
Okay.
And the people in Eagle have a problem. How do you figure, I mean, that's one hell of a long way from Eagle.
Right.
How do you figure they're going to get any better response by telephone than they are from Valdez?
First of all, it's more accessible. Okay?
By telephone?
Glen Allen is more accessible by road than Valdez is. You know, you got to drive 100, and, you know, if you're driving from Glen Allen, you got to drive 109 miles down the road and turn around and drive 109 miles back, you know, from Glen Allen. From Tok, you're talking, you know, we're talking about something where if it's in Tok or if it's in Delta or wherever, if you're on your way to Fairbanks, you're passing through. If you're on your way to Anchorage, you're passing through these places. There's more accountability as far as the people are concerned. And as far as additional buildings or anything else, I would say that Tok, Delta, and I don't know that much about the Glen Allen, I haven't been in that state camp, but all of those could probably handle that very thing without additional facilities.
Are you restricting your conversation, however, strictly to M&O? Now, the bill's address regional offices, and regional offices entail much more than M&O.
Okay, now I'm not talking about design.
Well,
Representative Phillips,
I'm quite familiar with the road system there, but the road to Eagle is not open in the wintertime.
Tragically, you're right.
You know, or the Taylor Highway.
Right.
Every time I go through there, I look and there's about 3 foot of snow on the roadway. So, I mean, the wintertime is a big problem, right? Unless we decide to maintain it year round. But what would be wrong with just giving the authority to the maintenance camp to do their own thing? I mean, let's first define the problem. The problem is response as far as maintenance is concerned, right? Or is there anything more than that?
Response, accountability.
Right, that too. But you're talking about maintenance alone, right? You're not talking about planning or design.
I'm talking about setting equipment needs.
Okay.
Madam Chair. I'm talking about equipment needs. I'm talking about setting priorities on the foot stretches of road need to be worked on. Randy, if I may, Madam Chair, go ahead.
I'm just trying to define the problem first.
If you look at where your regional headquarters are located, okay, and look at it, and the next time you drive down the road, the closer you get to those areas, the better the roads are. The closer you get to Valdez, the better the road is.
True.
The closer you get to Anchorage, the better the road is. The closer you get to Fairbanks, the better the road is.
But I think that's because of this, you know, greater population. And it's because of the greater population, there's the need there. But you're right.
Greater ability to make the decisions in establishing their own priorities.
Yeah. Maybe we can ask DOT about that. Well, okay, but your problem is the accountability, the maintenance, and the frequency of snow plowing and operation, maintenance and operation of the highway system in the interior. Now, what I'm saying is, what is so wrong in giving the authority to the maintenance camp, solely to the maintenance camp, especially the supervisor of that construction camp, or the maintenance camp, to make that authority on his own without calling Valdez or Timbuktu or Juneau or
great,
whatever. But I don't think we need to. I think the language says that you just move the whole shebang.
That's
what I think it reads. But I mean, we're trying to accommodate to your needs,
mm-hmm.
and I think
I appreciate that.
I'm trying to figure out a way of doing it. But I what's wrong with that? I mean, what's wrong with giving the authority to the
Madam Chair? Madam Chair.
Yes.
If I may.
For us
to be under the maintenance and operation jurisdiction of Valdez, as far as basically that the interior region there that we're talking about in that Region 5, we would be just as well off to have it in Juneau or Anchorage. or Nome, or Kotzebue, or wherever. I mean, it's just, it really doesn't make any difference. I mean, it's just, wherever you've got one, I mean, we can make the same kind of telephone calls to Anchorage, or to wherever this one's set up, Juneau. It really doesn't. That's how much logic there is in having, as far as I'm concerned, the maintenance and operation part of the highway for that region, located clear at the terminus, clear down by the ocean in Valdez. We might as well have it in Cordova, Juneau, or wherever. We're going to have a regional. If we're going to have a regional maintenance and operations camp, then it should be centrally located, that are going to meet the needs of the people for the big, largest stretches of road, and it should be. And I'm not particular about where it's located. I don't care if it's put in Paxson or Solana or wherever, but it should be someplace within the interior of that region.
Representative Szymanski, you had your hand up a minute ago.
Through the chair, Representative Schultz, the concept that you've derived here was primarily facilitated by a desire, I guess, to try to correct some growing concerns that you have within your constituency, that there's some problems out there. I guess I'd like to hear a little bit about that. Plus, whether or not you've made a comparison between what this plan is and what the current administration has come down with regard to its three regional planning, planning operations, development, maintenance areas. I kind of like to get a feel for if you've looked at both the options and also why, what really is the motivation behind it.
I haven't had the opportunity to see what the three regional plan is that the administration is proposing, but I would assume that it has divided our district, or has again it gets back to a realistic understanding of what the district entails and what it actually, you know, the parameters of the whole thing. Getting back to some of the problems that exist, you know, if you go to Gardner Creek, if you go to Tok or Dot Lake or wherever you would like to go, Paxson, Solana, or any place else, what you have to do, if you want a decision made, you go into the highway camp, you got to stretch a road, there's some potholes, and you ask them why, you know, when are you going to fill these things up and all that. Well, there's, as soon as you know, there's some people coming up from Valdez, and they're going to take a look at it, and as soon as they look at it and this kind of thing, well, then you know, so they're sitting down in Valdez, when they get up and when they, you know, address those kinds of things, they get up there and they take a look at them, they find out that maybe that's, you know, that there is some work that's needed, and you know, and then it can progress from there. It always takes someone, just for example, someone from Valdez, just on this Chistochina thing that I was talking about, a river that's overflowing is coming in and is causing some property damage to a person living there, and it's a very beautiful place, and the guy's got $100,000 or so invested in this place, and it's immaculate. Anyway, he's having this overflow problem. Jimmy Fry could have come, loaded up a cat down to Solana, drove down there, ripped that thing out, and maybe taken an hour overtime and been done. But now, what it constituted to get that little project taken care of, what it constituted, this guy calling Jimmy Fry saying, you know, I would come down there and I would do it, but I, you know, I can't. And so then they call Glenn Allen. Glenn Allen says, okay, well, yeah, we know exactly the area you're talking about. They call Valdez. Valdez says, well, Morrow says, you know, he'll have to work on it a little bit. Meantime, I get a telephone call on a Sunday. I call the commissioner, and I tell him that this is some of the very things that I was talking about. And he said, right. And he said, it shouldn't work that way. And he said, I'm going to have to take a look at it. We make a telephone call back Monday. And to my understanding, and I may be wrong, the guy from Valdez was going to go up and physically take a look at it. Now that doesn't make a bit of sense. Jimmy Fry is running that camp. If he decides that there's an overflow problem there and he can handle it, he should just load up the cat, go out, run the ripper down it, and that's it. Those are the kinds of things that we're talking about throughout the interior. You know, that's why the camp, if it were located within the interior region, we wouldn't be encountering those kinds of problems. just the physical distance that Valdez is from the interior of Alaska, basically, as far as where the extreme low temperatures are at, you know, constitutes that the camp be located, you know, the maintenance and operations offices be located within the interior. It's just absolute pure logic.
let me just kind of respond.
Representative Abood was trying to get a word in edgewise.
No, I think in response to Representative Szymanski's deal, we're not talking about three sections. We're talking about the bill and the five sections proposed in the bill. So whatever happens to the three section, that's out of the picture at this point in time. What he's trying to say is, in other words, you're going to have the terminus of the particular region office, if you pertain it to this bill, in the five regions. You're going to have your decision-making area here, yet on the same token, you can't tell me that there aren't going to be some cats and blades and so on up at Glen Allen. And I imagine at Tok we're going to have some cats and blades and rippers and whatever you need, probably, if this thing goes through. Probably have it at Delta, and it seems logical to have something at, it looks like Jack Wade, wherever the hell Jack Wade is. Or up near the border. But I don't think that you're going to have all of your equipment sitting down here in Valdez, so if you got the problem with the ripper on the overflow up there, they got to bring something all the way from Valdez, clear up 5.9 million miles to bring it up into the one particular area that's got the problem. So what we're really saying is, if we have the terminus of the regional decision-making area in Valdez, and you've got all your line camps up there to tell your equipment camps, which is your M&O, which is your maintenance and operation of the equipment for the maintenance of the roads, then that phone call up through there is going to be a lot easier than calling into Anchorage or calling down to Juneau or calling into, you've left everything out but Whitehorse. And it just seems to me that if you've got the equipment sitting there, you can make the phone call. And these people in Valdez can make the decision, yeah, you got a problem, get that cat and get that ripper in there right now and do it. Now, what's wrong with that?
If I may, that's exactly where it's at now, Mr. Abood. That's exactly where it's at now. Those are the things that I've described are exactly the problems that we're having today with it. It is in Valdez, part of it, and the other part of it in that region is in Fairbanks.
But the other problem we have, if I may follow up, the other problem that starts that whole ball rolling, that Valdez can't do a cotton picking thing unless they go to Juneau. And that's where this thing is going to work. Because the decision making with that particular director sitting down there, if he's got to call Juneau every time you have one of those problems, nothing. You could have that place sitting right there on top of that ice berm and that overflow, and it still isn't going to do anything.
Madam Chair. Open that. Do you remember during the campaign when Governor Sheffield came out and said, if I'm elected, he said, there will be a deputy commissioner placed in Fairbanks, right? And on the TV
I don't
media,
know what
okay,
he
the
said.
TV.
We were blacked out, and then it's South Central.
The TV media picked up on this, and the people of Fairbanks were just ecstatic. You know, they're going to get a deputy commissioner because that's going to solve all their road problems in the Fairbanks area, right? Okay. They're putting it, they could put President Reagan in Fairbanks running our road system, and we would still be as bad off as we are right now. We need a regional headquarters that is compatible with our district. And Valdez, although it's part of the road system, is not compatible with our district.
Madam Chairman,
he couldn't take the cold anyway.
Madam Chairman,
could the meeting please come to a little bit more order? Representative Locker.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. I too would like to know, and I see we have someone here from DOT, where the regional headquarters is proposed. supposed to be in DOT's proposal for the three regions.
Commissioner Casey, would you like to come forward?
Madam Chairman, before we go off on that, let me just try to...
Representative Szymanski, you are recognized.
Thank you. Because while the distinguished representative from Anchorage did somehow retrieve the floor away from me before I was able to get back to talking to Representative Schultz there, and I was able to make my response, I think I am concerned with regard to where the state is right now, because I think that that's, we're making a departure from some position, and I like to know what position we're in before we start moving off into a new world. And it's my understanding from the correspondence that I've read and received that we have apparently moved into a three regional area, including a fourth region, which I look at as being a ferry system under a deputy there. And that I think it is significant, because if you look at going to the concept that's here or whatever other bill that we have before us, it's a departure. There's obviously a cost associated with it. There's a management strategy associated with it. I'm not a construction manager. I'm not a, don't portray to be one. I've never been a supply specialist and logistics management representative for the state of Alaska or any other representative organization, so that I understand all the intricacies of logistic development within the state. But I'll rely on the distinguished representative from Spinard's background in that area to give me expertise. All I'm saying is that I'd like to see where we're at now before we go creating a new model or a new plan or fixing something that may not need to be fixed.
I'd like to add a comment to your remarks, Representative Szymanski. The bills that we have before us, which I hope you've read, are not necessarily a new concept. The first bill, HB 70, was introduced 2 years ago. At that time, shortly after that time, after that bill was introduced, the Department of Transportation went to a three-region concept. And I think we'll have Commissioner Casey tell us about the three-region concept. History shows us that there have been five regions prior to the time that Commissioner Ward decided there would be a three-region concept.
Madam Chair, may I just interject one thing here for Mr. Abood. On the thing that you're talking about, maybe another proposal would be to move Department DOT out of Anchorage, and we'll move it to Glen Allen, and then, you know, when you need some roads fixed down there, just give us a call. We'll take care of it.
I would constitute that as a facetious remark. Shall we get on with the business?
In all fairness to Szymanski, I mean, he's new. I'm serious. I mean,
yes.
There are citizen legislators, you know.
Right. Yeah. I'm serious about it. So, you know, he has a good legitimate point. I would like to see not only this map, but a map of what we have right now, so we can have some idea.
Yes. That was one of the things I was going to ask Mr. Casey for. Would you explain the three-region concept? Commissioner Casey.
Yes, Madam Chairman, we can get you a map. We sure can. I think Representative Schultz's comment there at the end could be taken facetiously, and I'm glad to see that in the morning everybody's in good humor. But on the other hand, there's some real truth to what he's saying, and that is the question of the ability of a line superintendent or a campaign to get on with the business of snow removal or ripping some overflow or cleaning out some ditches. It's the kind of decision-making process that, regardless of the number of regions or the location of regional headquarters, is going to need to be pushed down the organization. I think we're confusing, possibly, Madam Chairman, two kinds of problems. One is delegation of authority throughout the organization and accountability that goes with that delegation of authority at all levels, and the concept of regionalization. Now, regionalization, Madam Chairman, only deals to the certain levels, and that is primarily at the deputy commissioner levels. If I have 14 regions or three regions, if that stops at the deputy commissioner level, we haven't solved the problems that are understandable frustrations on the part of Representative Schultz and a lot of you all, even adjacent to a regional headquarters, where you find the inability of foreman and superintendent to be responsive to needs because of the absence of policy, the absence of the delegation, and the absence of accountability. By that, I mean there are a lot of superintendents and line foremen out there now that know they should not be doing something, that know they don't have the money to do it, but can pass the buck. So when a local constituency comes to them and says, how come you're not cleaning up this river? They say, well, the goddamn people in Fairbanks or Juneau or whatever won't give me permission to do it. But they know better. But the reason they can get away with it is, one, they didn't participate in the development of the budget, and two, we're not holding them accountable for doing the best they can within whatever budget the legislature and the governor agrees to. We have begun the process of modification of approval authority guidelines. My final approvals have gone from 48 to 12. An interim release went out last week with. We are going through the entire organization to push that down. At the same time, we're having to modify the budgeting process so that at each level, a person understands what his budget is, has a chance to provide input as regards to that budget, has the approval authorities to operate within the constraints of that budget and make the kind of day-to-day trade-offs they need to make, and knows he's going to be held accountable for it. We also have a tremendous absence of policies within this department, Madam Chairman. The most obvious one is in conjunction with some of the things we've been talking about in the ferry system. But we have that problem statewide. And what I mean by policies are, do you use state equipment off of state right-of-ways or not? And what is the basis upon which you use state equipment off of state right-of-ways? What's the theory behind that, if you will? So we have tremendous inequities that pop up in all election districts. We have some election districts in which state equipment and state maintenance and operations funds are used only for state right-of-ways. We have other areas, other election districts, in which there are a tremendous number of non-state right-of-ways, non-state roads being maintained by state equipment. In some cases, there are good reasons for it. But there hasn't been a policy developed as to how you make that distinction and it becomes an adhocracy or a passing of the buck.
Would you mind a question, Representative Phillips?
I've forgotten the question already.
Oh, okay.
It was
at a point where you were just talking.
Is it necessary to change the language in the bill to give the authority to the maintenance camp foreman or supervisor to make these decisions?
Well,
were you here when Schultz and I were discussing where's the problem? And
I feel that Representative Schultz and I are pretty well in sync in terms of, one, our understanding of the problem, and two, how you fix the problem, if I can be so presumptuous to. We've had several discussions before this meeting, and I can appreciate the frustration that, where it's coming from. My answer to that is, Representative Phillips, is no. And the reason I say that is that, golly gee, it's kind of like this business we got into in terms of the legislature deciding the number of crew levels to do a particular task. Mm-hmm. That's not a legislative function.
Well, I agree with you.
I think, if I can't get this department organized and run an efficient manager, you change management. At least that's what a board of directors would do in the private sector, and I view you all as my board of directors.
So the bottom line is, yes, you can do it internally.
You betcha.
So we don't have to change it.
No, sir.
And sorry, that would take care of Schultz's problem.
That's correct. Now, I have to caution everyone here that this kind of change, from my personal experience, is not something you do overnight.
Oh, yeah, I understand that.
Probably going to take 12 months to get those approval authorities down, people educated, get the budget split up so the superintendent sees what his budget is, he understands how to read the budget printout, and he understands he's accountable for it. And there's going to be some people that are going to pass the buck, and you have to go back to him and counsel him. It says, hey, you fought for the budget, this is your budget, once you got a budget, you do your best to represent the state within the guidelines of that budget. So there's going to be some education but directionally this whole department, Madam Chairman, if I might, has been viewed by a lot of people as an unmanageable department. And Madam Chairman, it's only a 4,000 man department, and there are much more complex companies and organizations around this world that are run by people who get bored of running these departments because they don't think they have enough to do. Because we just need to apply some good delegation accountability principles in this department. That's the reason I think it's viewed as so cumbersome. And I can assure you, I'm not about to sit here and continue to sign drawings and make decisions on the day-to-day maintenance questions like I'm getting hit with right now.
Representative Booth.
Yes, the problem of the Valdez terminus, if you will, has been solved. My whole point was that if we intend to tell the commissioner how to run that, then we better get rid of the commissioner because he has no power over all of those line cabs to be able to have somebody say, fix that dam, get that ripper out there, or let's all get in the ripper and start nipping. My whole point is that we're trying to legislate something here that it is the commissioner's full responsibility to organize, deputize, and supervise. And if he can't handle that, we need a new commissioner. Is that what we're... I think that's where I'm coming from. Does that go along with your philosophy?
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
I would like to get back to the basic question that we asked the commissioner, and that was to explain the three regions concept.
I apologize, Madam Chair. I get a little long-winded here, but I felt that what we talked about earlier, Madam Chairman, was an important preface to talk about the regions. The three regions that we recently set up, Representative Semaski mentioned, really four line management functions, if you include the ferry system, headquartered in the Juneau, Anchorage, and Fairbanks, was intended at a closer geographic level and lower in the organization than the commissioner to ensure we had integration across the functions, being design and construction, maintenance and operations, administration, and planning and programming. The situation currently in Valdez is that the design and construction and planning people go to Fairbanks for their supervisory guidance, and in turn those directors go to Juneau. The maintenance and operations director in Valdez goes to Anchorage for his guidance, and the administrative people in Valdez go nonstop to Juneau for their guidance, and the resident director in Juneau. What we have now is a situation in which the resident maintenance and operation director can go right to his peers in Fairbanks and to his common boss in Fairbanks if he has any functional integration problems, getting the mutual support and cooperation between maintenance and operations, design, construction, planning, and administration. The boundaries, we need to get you a map. But I guess there is some confusion over this five versus three regions, and both perceptions are correct. And somewhat it's because of the confusion over the word region and district. As it relates to maintenance and operations, there are currently five subdivisions within the state, or probably more accurately, there are five directors located in five different places around the state. One in Nome, one in Valdez, one in Fairbanks, one in Anchorage, and one in Juneau. And the reason for that degree of decentralization is at the director level, is because we have a large group of people and the need for more day-to-day kinds of proximity as it relates to maintenance and operations functions. We plan, Madam Chairman, to continue that. And we have three groupings of planning and programming and administrative and design and construction functions within Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau now. I think that in fact what exists is you have five maintenance and operations districts and three regions. And in fact, it turns out that interior region, they have three maintenance and operations districts and three separate maintenance and operations directors, because of the geographical dispersion of that particular interior region merits having a director level talent on site in Valdez and known. And then I think, below, if the director is the only person that's capable of making day-to-day decisions, and we need about 1,000 of them, and I don't think that we're at odds in terms of what we're trying to do, if we have a director of maintenance and operations in Valdez, we have a problem on the Richardson Highway that ought to merit the ability of the foreman of the line camp superintendent to take action, that wherever that director is located, those kind of decisions still ought to be handleable by the foreman and the line superintendent. On the other hand, we're trying to get those directors geographically at least close enough that they have opportunities to touch regularly with those line camp foremen and superintendents in terms of how, in turn, those people are doing their job, but not to make the day-to-day decisions. Right now, we have calls from Jack Morrow that flow from Anchorage back to Juneau that I don't even think he should be worrying about. But we've just got to work on the process of getting that delegated down the organization. And I think that problem is independent of the location of the regions. The regions, the benefit is that instead of the integration of the functions at the commissioner level, we now have the integration of the functions at the deputy commissioner level. So that if you want to be concerned about what the responsibilities are of the department and where it stands on a project that might include some people in planning and programming, it might include some people in design and construction, it might include some maintenance and operations function, you can go to one man below the commissioner level who has responsibility for ensuring that all those key people are pulling together on a particular project or road system or study or whatever it might be.
Representative Schultz.
Yes, Madam Chair. Yeah, it seems as though you guys have more or less made your decision, decided as to how you're going to, react to this thing. However, if you start talking about, you've got to put it in your mind the distances that we're talking about. From Fairbanks to the Alaskan border is about 320 miles, That's larger than, across a lot of states. Fairbanks to Valdez is a considerable distance. If we go with a three-region concept, and I don't exactly know, still haven't figured out yet where they would be, but I would assume that would put Valdez under the jurisdiction of Fairbanks. Now, I'm sure that that wouldn't set very well with you. Valdez.
Three-region district. Valdez, if I may make a comment, does not ever set very well with me.
Right, but the being under the jurisdiction and control of the Fairbanks area, being in Valdez, wouldn't set very well with the community of Valdez. And I would assume that would be correct.
And Madam Chairman,
being in this other smaller area that we're talking about in Region 5, doesn't set very well with the people in Region 5, the way we have it here. Because of the same kinds of things, you would have the northern community of Fairbanks having jurisdiction over the one clear down by the ocean. Now you talk about something that they would have something in common, very little when it comes to roads. We have the same thing in the interior part.
And as I said before, I agree with you, but I felt that it could be done through authority of the maintenance and operation camps that are online at the present time.
I would encourage, though, if you decide, the decision is to put the maintenance and operations in Valdez and keep it there, that I would encourage that there is never one penny of money appropriated for additional staff, for additional anything, additional buildings or anything else in Valdez, because it is just logically a matter of time before, as the population grows and everything else, that the district regional camp or the Region 5 that I'm talking about will be moved into the interior of Alaska, whether it's 5, 10, 15 years down the road. And you may end up with a white elephant sitting down in Valdez. So I would encourage you not to spend any more money for buildings or anything else.
Well, I can assure you, Representative Schultz, I have no control over what money DOT spends in Valdez, as far as buildings and things like that are concerned. and the compound there, I think, is fairly adequate for the five regional concept. Commissioner Casey, you had another remark, and I think we interrupted you.
Well, Madam Chairman, I just think the committee ought to be apprised, if they're not already, that in addition to Representative Schultz's concern for increased organizational structure in someplace in the interior, such as possibly Tok, that I've received petitions from the delegation in Kenai and the delegation representing Westward Alaska and the Bethel area. I just want to caution that there's a classic management guidance in terms of the span of control at each level in the organization. My span of control now, Madam Chairman, excluding the railroad transfer team, is five. I'm concerned that there is an appropriate balance between the number of line management functions you create and the ability to ensure also we have consistency across those functions. Now, I feel comfortable I can build a team with that kind of span of control so that we have line management independence at the deputy commissioner level and working on down the organization. On the other hand, you get a certain critical mass of line managers and your ability to create some consistencies, which we have tremendous requirements for as well, is a great risk. I'm also concerned, Madam Chairman, that the maintenance and operations budget and the operating budget for this state and this department is going to be on the decrease, not the increase. And we have to look hard at the trade-off between creating additional management structures and organizational empires and what we could do with that money if we had it available for the people out on the job to get on with doing their business. It's a tough trade-off, but the principles that are being argued here, I think we're in agreement in terms of results we're trying to get, in terms of the delegation, and so just a matter of how to go about it. But I caution you that there are some there's some costs associated with this, and there are other constituencies in other parts of the state that I must say have equal arguments as regards to the volume of work. As do the good representative in terms of setting up on-site additional organizational structure.
We're past meeting time. We will be carrying this on tomorrow.
May I just add just one thing?
Quit calling you
yes.
Madam Chair. I am not a chair.
Okay. Oh, I would just... Okay. I would just like to, God, just say I have confidence in Commissioner Casey that you know that the problems that I've discussed with him and he's assured me that these are also areas of concern for him, and he is going to you know make every attempt he possibly can to address them. However, this piece of this bill that you have before you and in its concept. And there's only just a couple of word changes and just a little bit of boundary changes as compared to your bill. And I would seriously want this committee to take it seriously. There's some serious considerations, I think, that have to be, you know.
Right. Inasmuch as we are running out of time, I'll declare this meeting today adjourned. And we will resume tomorrow at the same time on the same topics.
The view of the legislature is the board of directors, and it's all just too bad that more commissioners and the third floor doesn't view us the same way. Thank you.
I appreciate that concept also.